Well, I want to thank everyone here at Edmonds Lanes Bible Chapel. My name is Sherman Weaver, and we announced my wife Cheryl Weaver from Manville Bible Chapel. And many of you may know us from the conferences that we have down there, or from the camps, or from other ministries. And the Manville Bible Chapel Saints extend our warmest thank you for inviting us up here, and the elders as well, to give a presentation on the Word of God and how it deals with children's ministries and why we outreach to children in the first place, and also a presentation for Sandy Creek Bible Camp. Now, there is a... Oh, there it is. See how prepared we are here. There we go. Okay. Just so you don't think I'm some guy up here with white hair from another assembly, I'll let you know that we are pretty connected to the Indian community. Our oldest daughter, Taylor, is married to Ivan George, which is Thompy and Lolly Metackle's George's. We get it right here. You tell I'm real technically savvy here. Where's my helper? There we go. There is a picture of Lolly and... There we go. Okay. Lolly and Thompy right there. And we're all up here for our middle daughter's graduation from medical school yesterday. She starts at a pediatrics residency at Baylor & White in Temple, Texas over there. We also have our youngest son, who is an electrical engineer with KCB Radio in Houston, which has 50 broadcast stations throughout Texas and Louisiana and Alabama and Florida. So we're blessed to have them there as well. Again, we are pretty connected to the Indian community and through various ministries as well, the Engedi conferences, the Galilee training. And again, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to share the word here this morning with Edmund Lane's Bible Chapel. So what I'd like to do to talk about this morning is, what say the scriptures about the local church's ministry and outreach, particularly with children? What say the scriptures about our local church ministries and outreach, particularly with children? So the topic of my message this morning will be your kids, their kids, and those kids. All right, your kids, their kids, and think about who they are and those kids as we go through this presentation. So let's roll back to the Old Testament, where we get our kind of a foundation to start with. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have right there. And I'll just read chapter 6, verses 4, 6, and part of 17. It says, "Hear, O God, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength." Very familiar verses to each one of us. "And these words which I command you today will be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." And keep that word diligent or diligently in your mind as we go through some of these here. "You shall talk to them when you sit in the house, and you shall walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." In verse 17, "You shall diligently keep the commands of the Lord your God." We can focus on that word diligent for just a moment and go back where it says, "Talk of them when you sit in your house." When you sit in your house, that's going to refer obviously to our family environment, where we have our meals, we have our home devotions, we have news events that come on the radio or the TV, or where we have to have discussions about influence we have amongst the world, and what say the scriptures in our family is what the Lord says about the commands in the scriptures. When you walk by the way, we used to tell our kids when they went out somewhere, as they were empty nesters now, they would get out to remember the three T's: testimony, testimony, testimony. You are the walking testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ as you go out into this community, when you walk by the way. When you lie down, if you can turn with me please to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians Again, familiar verses. When you lie down, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that word all is what we don't really understand as all, but the Lord Jesus Christ does. God knows what all means in our lives. All understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So we see that when you lie down. And then when you wake up in the morning, again, prayer and peace in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be diligent in all these matters right here. Bind them as a sign unto your hands, frontlets between your eyes, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So here we have the foundational commands, if you will, to teach them diligently to your children, to your kids, their kids, and those kids as we go forward here. So let's look at the local assembly of God's people. There we go. In the local church, my notes here. Of course, you know, we have a very blessed time where we have the Lord's Supper, we have the teaching, the preaching, the conference, the conferences, the Bible studies, the prayer meetings, and all the meetings that you have announced here this morning, the women's fellowship, et cetera, et cetera. Very, again, familiar verses in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the word of God, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayers. It's just a beloved time we have here as a family. Each person is a member of the body with Christ himself the head. You turn with me also to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read verses 12 and 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 and 27. For the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We want to maintain that Christ is the focus of the reason that we're coming together here in ministering. Chapter verse 27 reads, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. We need to keep that in mind as we look at each and every aspect of this ministry, is that he has preeminence in all that we do. And then Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. This thing's like in my way here. There we go. 4 and 5. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are the one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Keeping Christ as preeminence, understanding what our functions are, they're all going to be a little bit different, but focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ in and through all the ministry. So, we read that with your particular gift, we see as individuals, we function to fulfill the ministry of the church. There we go, where we have, again, the remembrance meeting, the Sunday school, the family Bible time, the Wednesday night meetings, the fellowship, the men's and women's Bible studies, the breakfast and work days. And these are things that we have. You may have some different things here as well. Home meetings, the Emmaus Book Challenge, and so forth and so on. So that's the local church, local beginning. But we don't want to neglect our own kids as we go through. There we go. You have Sunday school here. We have our own children. That's your kids, if you will. We do not, in the midst of reaching out and outreach, keep those kids set aside. We don't want that to influence the raising of our own kids in our own time here. We have a couple of kids there at Manville Bible Chapel, and focusing on them and raising them in the admonition of the Lord and the teaching and the preaching of the word. So, outreach. Again, we're going from the local body of believers to what an outreach. We're talking about missions, local and foreign, home Bible studies, Sandy Creek Bible Camp, or camp work, if you will, Vacation Bible School, which I heard mentioned a while ago, Kids Club, Postal Bible School, so forth and so on. So the question is why? Why do we outreach and go out beyond this local assembly right here? Well, simply because Christ commands it. It's just a very simple fact right there. We look at, and I'll just read to you, Mark 16:15, again, a familiar verse. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's one of the commands. It's a very simple command that we're given. Secondly, we see in Romans 10:13-15, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We're going to expand on that word preacher here towards the end of this message. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So again, we're talking about outreach. We're talking about commended workers, postal Bible school. That's a mail out that we have at the chapel. It comes from Ireland, where kids are sent lessons at home, where they do Sunday school at home. They fill it out, mail it out, it's graded, and sent back to them with comments and so forth and so on. We have about 180 processed out of Manville right now. And if anybody's interested in that, feel free to talk to me. We'd like to expand that program out. It's really quite a good system. We have Kids Club. We have Indian Missions and Workers, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. Again, Vacation Bible School, Global Media Outreach, reaching out to those that really can't respond in closed nations, Christian Evangelism Fellowship, and last but not least, Sandy Creek Bible Camp, that we'll be talking about here in just a moment. So let me ask you a furthermore question. Why is a majority of our outreach oriented towards children with respect to the commands that we just reviewed here? Why is a majority of our children, our outreach oriented to children with respect to the commands? We just read again, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm going to give you some statistics, and I believe the Lord has given us the cognizant ability to understand what statistics are and how we look at data and so forth and so on in following these commands here. So, in the New Testament, it was very important to Jesus Christ's children and how children were supposed to be able to come to them. And I'll just read this verse to you here. We're familiar as well, in Matthew 18:12-16. Then Jesus called the little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as these little children, then you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We always say that if the gospel is too complicated for a child to understand, then it's too complicated. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this, in my name, receives him. We see that element of a child. We see that element of trust. We see that element of faith and of innocence in a child as we approach the beloved Lord Jesus Christ and maintain in our relationship with him. Mark 10:13-16 reads, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took up in their arm, he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. You know, the disciples at that time had been following Christ. This is really, we see this again and again in the world today, that things are being set up where children are not being allowed to approach Christ or being rebuked for whatever reason. We see it in the world today. We see it in school. We see it all type of worldly hesitations, if you will, that are rebuking the children and coming to Christ. We need to just put those barriers down and look at the example of what Christ said to him and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. So why are we doing this? Okay, here's a chart. It says about the age at which people become believers in Jesus. You see on here, and I'm going to call it the 4 to 14 window in ages of children. You see here 0 to 4, about 1%, and then 4 to 14, about 85% of people that come to know Christ as their Savior will do it between the ages of 4 and 14. Then when you get to 15 to 30, it's 10%, and then 30 plus, it drops down to 4%. And those are statistics that we have. That's just the way it is. That's the way the Lord has set it up and guidelines for us to follow. So that's one of the reasons that we follow And we have these particularly outreach ministries, such as Vacation Bible School, such as camp, and such as the neighborhood outreaches and so forth to reach those kids. Additional, says 83% of Christians make a commitment to Jesus Christ between the age of 4 and 14. Again, that same 4-14 window right there. American children between the ages of 5 and 13 have a 32% probability of accepting Christ. So if you take, I hope I can get this right, if you take 100 kids who are not believers, all right, 85% of them will hear the gospel, and out of that, about 32% will probably respond to the gospel. That's about 26 kids out of 100 who are non-believers. And by the time you get to the age of 19, you have just over 6%, so you've dropped that 26 down to 5. And that's becomes the statistics by which we try to reach out to these ministries. Finally here, there we go. Romans 10, 14b says, "And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are saved?" You know, unless they are sent. Sorry about that. So the preacher. So what does that mean? We know that a preacher is one that expounds the word of God, get up here and deliver the message. But that also can be a teacher. That can be a volunteer. And it can be a leader. It can be anybody that's reaching out to your kids, their kids, and those kids, if you will, at the end of the day. When I refer to your kids, that's the ones in the local assembly here. Their kids are going to be local kids, your neighbors, people that you're familiar with. And those kids are going to be the ones that you're going to invite to Vacation Bible School, to the camps and so forth and so on in your outreach ministry. And you have to bring them all in. And they're not all going to just kind of come in. You're going to put a sign up front and they're just going to come in the door. You have to be a teacher. You have to be a leader. You have to be a volunteer. You have to be very proactive in your relationships. You have to go to them, their kids, and especially those kids. You have to develop relationships. There's oftentimes physical needs that have to be addressed. We have a community called Pearland Acres where we have our kids club, and we go into that community. It's a trailer park. I haven't met one family yet where it's the same mom and dad, boyfriend, whatever is going on over there. Lots of kids over there. There's physical needs. So oftentimes, they're maybe one or two paychecks away from being evicted. And just, you know, meeting those needs sometimes. And you have to be repeatable. You have to be dependable. You have to have compassion. And you have to have all the attributes of love we find in 1 Corinthians 13. If you just show up and, you know, the Lord will open those doors. Otherwise, you just go one time, you're not repeatable or dependable or helping with their needs. Basically, you're just going to be one more religious knock on the door that they probably won't hear from again. And so it is not easy. You have kids that grow up now with the phones, with the music, with the they all have to yell, seems like loud enough to be able to be heard over the other kids that are yelling. You have to pick them up in your vehicles. I have to put my phone in the back of my truck so they don't grab it and jack with things in my vehicle. So again, develop relationships with these physical needs. Be repeatable. Go back. They're not always going to come. And you just have to have that compassion. One of the aspects that we learn over there with kids, and one thing that they really, really struggle with is whenever their parents are divorced or they're separated, and almost all of them are, is whenever those parents fight. They need an environment of love and compassion, of someone that will listen to them and put up with their antics sometimes. But there are rules that we have to deal with. And just be there for them. And the Lord will deliver those all aspects of the compassion and love that you have for those kids. So that's the message I have here this morning for, again, their kids, your kids, their kids, and those kids as we look at that. So one of the ministries that we have is Sandy Creek Bible Camp. Cheryl and I have been involved in Bible Camp for over 20 years. We've directed the co-ed camp for 17 years and the girls' camp for the last, oh, here we go. You wind up one of these kids and you're going to put them out on the street and you may have a sign out like that. Life is short, death is sure, sin the cause, Christ the cure. Wouldn't you love to have kids come in from there and outside and wind up being a symbol for Christ up there? So we'll put up a slide here for a minute for Sandy Creek Bible Camp. Again, we directed a co-ed camp. Sandy Creek Bible Camp has 6 program camps during the week. They're 1 week long. They will start Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m., and it goes through the entire week to the next Saturday morning about 10 a.m. The kids will be about 10 kids in a cabin. There will be a cabin leader and a junior cabin leader that will be there for them that week in that cabin. So that cabin leader is their mother, their father, their grandfather, their guardian, whatever you want to call it, it's their authority. And there's a very high bar for that position that we really have them fill an application out. And I would submit to you that if you're interested in that, I will lay that out here in a moment, to please consider signing up for that and praying for those people. They're on the front line. Then during the week, you know, we have chapel twice a day. They have devotions inside the cabins. We have activities throughout the camp. We have evening games. A lot of them are tied into spiritual tie-ins. We have a legacy craft that's not just a little foam craft that they make for the week, but it's a craft that they can probably pass on to their kids, and it takes them all week to make it. Cheryl will not be doing girls' camp this year, but we hope to get back into that next year. It's a little hard to do two camps as we get more white hair at the end of the day. So with that, we roll into camp here. I'm going to step over here if that's okay. Here we go. So we see here, the purpose of the camp is to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to children and adults while in a relaxed rural setting. It's located between Brenham and Navasota, about 70 miles northwest of Houston. It's a little bit of a drive from here, but it's not that far. You know, you guys can probably make it. So provide opportunities for Christian growth, fellowship, and service to those who attend and staff the camp. There are opportunities for core staff during the entire summer. There's opportunities for high school staff to come up there for 2 weeks. A lot of background things need to be done in getting the camp going on there. Also, we have ladies' retreat, men's retreat, other retreats that go on up there. So the full-time staff is Larry and Melinda Roskow, executive director. He started, actually, when we started directing camp about 17 years ago. Keith and Callie Munsterman is the new facilities manager, and he will be transitioning into the camp director at the end of the summer. His dad is Bruce Munsterman, who's president of KCB Radio, and Keith gave up a job as a mechanical engineer after 10 years to come on to full-time ministry at Sandy Creek Bible Camp. And in Ebony Bell, program manager, he is a graduate of Emmaus Bible College. Andrew Davies is our groundkeeper, and just a really good team to have out there. So again, the summer camps each week is packed, you know, with fun and activities. I'll show you some of those. We have a co-ed camp, which, again, we direct, which is 8 to 12-year-olds. And typically, there'll be about 100 kids there. It's about our maximum for each of those camps. Boys camp, which is all boys, 8 to 12-year-olds. They have a girls camp, which is just all girls. Junior varsity, high school, which is really supposed to be 13 to 14-year-olds. Last year, the year before, we had the varsity camps, which was 14 to 18, and where they were getting so packed that we went ahead and added a second camp to that. Varsity Edge is 14 to 17, and then Varsity Next is 15 to 18. There's also an outdoor project group for the 18 and older. They make about 5 or 6 trips a year. They'll go to Big Bend National Park. They can do a lot of outside activities and just a good fellowship for those right there. It's $350 a month. Not a month, per child. There's always scholarships available. The camp has been there since 1974. It was started by probably about 24 assemblies. We're down to about 12 right now. There's 20 board members and the executive committee board, which I am on, that oversees all the activities out there. So it's been been there a long time. So some of the activities, we have a new ropes course over here. And does this have a pointer? Green button? So I don't want to hit the wrong button. Oh, there it is. Got it. Okay. So here's our ropes course. This is what we call the, is that the hard side, Cheryl? Yeah, there's the easy, medium, and hard side as they climb up to the top over there. And they get to the top, then you kind of go across this walkway, and then you take a zip line all the way back down to the other side over here. I've never been to the top, so I said I was encouraging them to kind of put a ladder over here where I can maybe walk up there or crawl up there, but they've yet to do that. So that's a lot of fun activity right there. We have horses. We have a swimming pool. And we had a survey to see what the kids really liked the most, and by far it was the horses at the end of the day. And they get to ride that twice a week. They have each of these activities or have a gospel message associated with it, or a creation message, if you will, as we go along throughout the week. Then we have archery. You see this guy here? Does he look familiar? You see his shirt that says, "Give me space." I think he lost about three arrows. So, you know, that's kind of your limit, you know. So you've got to get out of the way and get over there. We do have rifle. That's for 10-year-olds and over, just for one afternoon. And then archery, and that's what they're shooting at over there. We have various activities. This is Chinese Bibles, which just runs the kids ragged. I don't know why they love it, but they like it a lot. And then we have various activities. Cheryl doing the craft time with the kids over here. Again, a good legacy craft, some of the games. Sometimes they eat bugs, sometimes they don't. That's part of what's going on over there. Then we have this is the recreation room where why games going on. Horse, some of our staff right here. These are the counselors that we had last summer. Just a real blessing to have them come on for the week. And that's a hard job. It is a hard job. Here's our chapel time. I believe this is boys camp over here. This is a co-ed camp. And just a rich time where we come in. We have songs. We have the Word of God going on. And invitations for salvation. And that's the goal of why we come to camp. We present the Word of God to these camps. Our prayers are for these kids all to come to know Christ as their personal Savior by the end of the week. We don't know if that happens, but that certainly is our prayer. I think the statistics I showed you earlier, we pretty much fall in line with those. It's pretty amazing how that works. Again, chapel time. I know in Coe Camp we have a new believers class where we give them instructions on what to do and where to go and what to expect as new believers. We send a letter to their parents. We haven't done it last year, but we encourage them to be in a local fellowship. Some of these kids don't even go to church. They've just been picked up. They've been brought to camp. It's really important to get them into a round of fellowship with other believers. And then, you know, a lot of one-on-one time that you can go on over there. This is varsity camp. You can kind of see the size and the activities there. Here's girls camp, which was a whole lot of girls, all girls. The girls camp does things different than the boys camp. The girls camp have, like spa night and, you know, stuff like that. So, kind of fun for them. Some of the girls' camp activities. Ran across this picture, and I see four Indian girls here trying to play tetherball. I thought you only had to have two. Is that, you know, I don't know what the deal is there. So anyway, they seem to be working out like that in a good group over here. This is one of the cabins for girls' camp, and some more pictures of kids. This is Naomi Varghese right here, which is Finney's niece. Is that correct? Okay. And people out there, this is Coe Camp, and the activities going on there. Again, Coe Camp, some pictures of the cabins and activities, and service opportunities. Again, we have the weekly cabin leaders, which are 18 years and older, and we particularly want you to pray for those because we need to have at least one in each cabin. We need 10 per camp, and we have a particular need in Coe Camp for one more female and one more male senior leader right there. Also, there's positions for junior, what we call junior cabin leaders. If you're 15 to 18 and a strong believer, we have an application process that you go through and you submit that. And you're there for the week assisting that cabin leader, which we have one of those in each cabin as well. Summer high school staff, again, is 15 to 18 years old. We have needs for nurses who will be there for a week. And you can be an EMT. You can be, just really pretty much some level of experience in the medical community. We prefer you have a degree in nursing. Our worst nurse one year was a thoracic surgeon. His daughter was in camp, and he just had the worst bedside manners. He said, unless you're bleeding or unconscious, there wasn't nothing he could do for you. I said, just give him an ice pack or a crutch or something, He was the worst. Anyway, fortunately, we didn't have a need for his services at that level. Cooks come in and always have a need for cooks and helping out there at camp and any other activities there as well. Prayer request, wisdom, as we review these staff applications for the summer, not all of them will get through. They come in, they're processed, and some of them you look at and you said, wow, we really want that person in our cabin. Or you look at, well, maybe you need to wait till next year. Normal training, come in for high school staff and a little more discipling right there. They do have disciple time teaching all throughout the week, regardless of who's there and why they're there. That God would provide the number of cabin leaders necessary for each one, that the hearts of the campers would be prepared. New registration software goes seamless, which we're really praying it does this year. We had some problems last year. And we also have a new creation center this year. It is completed now, and go out there, and a nice little message on creation over there by the horses. And I think, Sandy Creek Bible Camp. So with that, I have we're going to break here, and I'll close in prayer. And we have if you're interested in one of these opportunities for the cabin leaders or a nurse or a cook or a high school staff, I have a sign-up sheet. We'll have it on the table in the fellowship room over there. And any questions, feel free to talk to myself or to Cheryl. Everybody know Cheryl? Raise your hand there. There she is. Okay. we'd be happy to answer any questions, and we would be happy to get back with you. There's a volunteer interest level right here in what you may be interested in. Or if you happen to know somebody, or at least pray about it and get back with us, I have a card that you can follow up on there as well. We have some shirts and we have some caps that we're happy to give out. Come up and have a chat with us. You don't have to sign up to get a shirt or a hat. We only have certain sizes, so Cheryl's going to kind of like size you and maybe hand out some Sandy Creek Bible Camp. We call it swag, shirts and T-shirts. Okay, does anybody have any questions? Who had their hand up? Cheryl, do you have your hand up? Did I cover everything? Think so? Okay. Do what? She was a camper the first year. And you're giving your age away now. You're doing that. Okay, again, we appreciate the opportunity to come up here and present the word and just think about the ministry as we outreach to kids and why we do that. And the opportunities you have to be really proactive about it. I know it's a far drive down there, but you can make the drive. You know, what else are you doing on Saturday mornings, right? Or Sunday afternoons? Might as well get on the road. And again, we appreciate the elders for us the opportunity to share this this morning. So we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your beloved Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the time that we came this morning to remember our Lord and the sacrifice he made on the cross for our sins, O Lord. And just a blessed, sweet time in thee. We pray for the camps upcoming this summer. We pray for the staff. We pray for the speakers, the directors, the kids, and the cabin leaders. We pray for each and every child to truly come into Christ as a personal Savior, to be strengthened in their own faith and their walk in thee, and just to be a rich time to reach out as they leave camp and to spread the word as well. We pray for the ministries here, for the Vacation Bible School in particular coming up, just rich blessings upon that and reaching out and just, again, just having Christ as a preeminence in all that we do. And I love the name. We give praise and thanks. Amen.